key thing is focus. How do you understand where are the opportunities that you can actually win? What are the opportunities that you can't win? And how to walk away from the ones that you can't win?
Welcome to 20 Minute Leaders. Just sit back, relax, and learn from the leaders of today. It's a journey. Each one is different, unique, inspiring. Let's get started. This episode is powered by J Ventures, a community-driven VC fund in Silicon Valley, and is sponsored by Hillel Stanford, Upwest, and Hippo Insurance. Welcome everyone to episode 127. We have Gadi Boshvitz, the President and Chief Customer Officer of NeuroLegion, a fast-growing application security company providing application security from build to compliance. Originally from Israel and having grown up in a number of countries, Gadi started his high-tech career in product management. He has been in the US for the last 17 years and has been leading sales, customer success, and marketing organizations throughout that period. Gadi has been part of some amazing success stories, including Verint, Merced Systems, and Nice Systems. Gadi Boshvitz, thank you so much for joining me on 20 Minute Leaders.
Thanks, Michael.
Where are you calling from? It looks like Meteora, Greece, but I think I'm wrong.
Actually, the picture behind me is from Telluride, Colorado, but I'm in Puerto Madera, so 8 miles north of the Golden Gate Bridge right now.
Oh, you're 8 miles of the Golden Gate.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah, okay. The picture is a picture I took over July 4th last weekend, last year.
Last year. Wonderful. Actually, I believe this episode is going to air sometime later on, so maybe it will be last weekend, July 4th. We'll see. Gadi, extensive experience in the tech sector, you know, from 8200 to your MBA at NYU, leading the entrepreneurship segment there, going on to Verint, VP at Nice, your own startup, which you've already co-founded before, and now you're a part of NeuroLegion, another startup. Take me through your journey just a little bit. Give me a brief of who is Gadi.
All right, happy to start there. Maybe I'll even start a bit earlier.
But wonderful.
Before that, so originally from Israel, but I got to grow up in a bunch of different countries.
Okay.
Which always makes it fun. That instilled the love of travel in me. I've been to 110 countries.
Wait. You've been to 110 countries?
Yep.
Okay. Throw everything else out the window. I just want to talk about that. What does that mean?
You want to talk travel? It's funny because I was talking to one of our prospects yesterday, and he said, "Yeah, I'd like to go to New Zealand." And I started on the call with a whole plan for him. On, okay, this is what you need to do. You need to go there. This is how you do it. This is how you travel. That's how I usually end up conversations. I'm the travel agent for anybody who knows me. So,
Gadi, this is incredible. How do you get to 110 countries?
Well, a lot of it is you know, growing up in Europe as a kid, my parents used to throw us in the back of the car and just drive around. So I'd been to about 30 countries by the age of 10. And then you just fall in love with it and you find jobs over time that let you travel and go see a lot of other places. So in the period between... we're getting a bit off topic, but I think that's okay. In a period between 2001 and 2012, I traveled 2.2 million miles and visited about 70 different countries. So most of them for work, but I got to extend that and have some fun.
Wow. Okay. That's just incredible. Going back to entrepreneurship, but we're going to continue.
Yes, so,
we're continuing this right after the recording.
Okay. Excellent. So started there, came back to Israel after a few years in Europe. 8200, the customary plan for anybody in cyber. Then got my undergrad at Tel Aviv University and went into the joyous world of high tech. Founded my first startup in 99. After my first company.
That's a very interesting time to start a company.
It was a great time to start a company. Unfortunately, 2 years later, it was less of a great time to raise a Series A, which is what we were in the midst of. But things actually went pretty well, and we ended up selling the company's strange story. We actually split it in two, and Nice acquired part of it, and Verint acquired another part. And I went to one place, and my partner and co-founder went to the other place.
Wow.
That's how I joined Verint. I was with them on the product side for about a year and a half in Israel, and then they moved me to the as part of the expansion of the company. And Verint was a fun run. I was there for 6 years. We went from 150 people to 2,500 people. We went public. We went from about $15 million in sales to $400 million in sales. So that was fun.
And what was your role? What was your role in the company as you were watching this incredible transition?
When I joined, I was running product in the product management organization. And then when I moved here, I started a pre-sales group, then a business consulting group, and did customer success, did some direct sales. So I got to see everything from the front lines. And it was very interesting to work on some very large opportunities. So selling to, first of all, the IRS here in the U.S., then AT&T, T-Mobile, Sprint, some of the large banks, working on deals anywhere from $10 million to $40 million. This is pre-SaaS. So that was an exciting period, and I learned a lot. In parallel, what you brought up earlier is I got my MBA at NYU.
Right.
And that was my weekend job. And I ran the entrepreneurship club, the Entrepreneurs Exchange. Even though I was a part-time student, I really wanted to get involved, found an apartment a block and a half away from Stern, and that enabled me to really get involved there. But alas, after 6 years in the Verint company, it got a bit too big after a big acquisition we did, and I decided it was time to move on and join a company called Merced Systems here on the West Coast.
Okay.
So I moved at the end of 2007 to San Francisco. Joined Merced pretty early on. We were 25 people, something like that at the time. Pretty small, and when 5 years later, we were acquired by NICE. The great thing about Merced is that we only raised one round of funding. We only raised $2.5 million, and we were profitable from year two.
Oh my God! Wait, so that was the second company you're involved with that NICE was involved in the acquisition, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Wow, interesting coincidence.
It's all in the same space.
All in the same space.
So yes and no.
Interesting, Gadi. I want to give time to talk about cybersecurity because this is also a sweet spot for me after my own 5 years in 80-100. Neuralegion, I'm a part of J Ventures. So proud to be a part of the fund that helped invest in Neuralegion. Give me the pitch. What is Neuralegion? Why is app security so prevalent and so important in 2020?
Absolutely. I think the key thing that we do, or the key couple of things that we do that are very different and very innovative in the market, is we took the approach from the beginning, from the time the company was created, that we want to provide a tool for developers. We do not want to go into the security organization and tell them, here's a CYA tool that you can go ahead and deploy and say that it will work and you get the reports that you need. No, we wanted to provide a tool to companies that they can integrate very early on into their development processes and make sure that developers are using it. But that's the reason we called it from build to compliance.
Right.
So it can be deployed on every build, but you can build on that and go from that to say, okay, I've secured the build. Now I've secured the application. Now I've secured the product. And now I get my compliance reports. And you do that all in one holistic way across all of your environment. So you're not just testing your applications, but you're testing your APIs, which is critical today. More and more organizations are using that. You're testing your mobile applications and also any modern technology that you're using, like single page applications or authenticated sites, or if you're in a microservices environment, we can support all that because we are inherently built in the cloud and we're not a legacy solution.
Talk to me a little bit about how do you grow a company like this? Fine. So you have great talent, you understand the space, you write a great solution. Now what? So you have a million SaaS products, but you're knocking on the doors, you're offering another, you know, security, another layer. How do you sell this thing?
I think the critical thing is, one, you need to understand how you're different and where you're different.
Right.
And this actually ties into your other question of how do you grow a slow-growing company, even though that's not the case here. But the key thing is focus. How do you understand where are the opportunities that you can actually win? What are the opportunities that you can't win? And how to walk away from the ones that you can't win? There's a lot of people that waste a ton of time on places that ultimately will just waste their time and they're not able to win. But one of the things, and that's a critical thing that I implemented the minute I joined here and many other companies, is we do not join a meeting and do a demo as the first meeting, right? All these companies join a meeting and immediately start talking at the customer. Absolutely not. Our first meeting is a discovery meeting. You are going to talk to us in the first meeting. Hey, we'll spend 15, 20 minutes understanding what your actual challenges are. And once we know what they are, then we'll come back, we'll prepare, and we'll present back to you. If we think that we can't help you, we will tell you that on the first call so we don't waste your time or our time, because that's our most sacred resource. It's in time.
Of course. And is this diverging from the common way that you know any SaaS company operates today?
I think that modern sales organizations know this and they do that, but go to any website that you have, right? And click at what is the call to action that they have.
Request a demo.
No, I don't believe in that. You can request a demo. You're not going to get one immediately, right? It's how you capture people and how you get them. So I think that modern sales organizations absolutely understand this. I did not invent the concept of ask questions first. And learn and then adapt, but it's something that a lot of people get wrong. And that's how you get started. Then you actually need to have a superior product. You need to be able to go up in POCs and beat anybody in the competition. And I'm happy to say that we've done 20-25 POCs in the last 4 months and we've never lost. We've beat each and every one of them. We've beat the
competition. That's what we invested. That's why we're so proud.
Yeah. Well, you invested before these 4 months. But yes, hopefully the follow-on will happen soon. We'll see. Maybe by the time this airs, the follow-on will be done.
Isn't this the role of the investors, though, to always then say, yeah, I knew this before, and that's why we were in?
Exactly.
All right. Yeah, Gadi. You know, one of the things that we talked about right before starting is this notion of, you know, taking a large company or a large organization and that is slowly growing and understanding how can we, you know, pivot to scale so that we can go much quicker than we can. You had experience doubling sometimes the sales in like periods of 18 months, which is incredible. Talk to me a little bit about this notion. What makes a company grow slow and what makes a company grow fast?
Yeah, I think it's touching on something we already talked about. The key thing is, what are the levers that you can pull?
Yeah.
What do you need to stop doing? The first thing that you need to understand is, what do I need to stop doing?
I love it.
Okay, what am I doing that's just wasting time? Okay, and I should not be doing, because even if I do it, it won't help us grow.
Right.
And that's a critical, critical thing. Once you understand what you need to stop doing, you need to understand what are the levers that you can pull. And really, there are a few levers in the area of sales that you can pull. One is you can increase your average contract value, right? That's a very big one. You need to understand, how do you do that? Do you need to change your pricing model? Do you need to change your go-to-market? Do you need to change the customers you're selling to? Do you need to update how you package the product, et cetera, right? That's one critical thing. The next thing is, can you change your sales cycle? If there's something that you're doing in your sales cycle that is preventing you from going faster, and you have the ability to now shorten that sales cycle and have more impact.
Right.
The third one is, how are you actually going to market, right? Are you going direct and are you having meetings in person? This whole COVID thing that happened right now is really teaching us that, yes, you can do enterprise sales over Zoom, because somehow we've all gotten comfortable doing that. That's not something that organizations were perceiving or admitting that can be done earlier, but maybe that's a change.
But you know, I was having coffee with a good friend from the Stanford Business School, and one of the things he was telling me is, you know, Michael, one of the things that is happening, a lot of really great salespeople, it's not just about the demo and about sitting and about, you know, talking. It's about the whole experience. It's coming in, maybe going for a nice lunch, getting to know the other person.
Critical.
Well, you can't do that anymore. Now I can be sitting in my underwear right now. We don't know. Like, this is a whole different conversation.
Yeah, I think
I'm not in my underwear. Just
not even the underwear. But I think it is interesting, right? Because I have done this huge enterprise sales where in the end people buy from people, right? And that is a very important component. There are circumstances right now that have changed that. Do I think that ultimately, once this whole COVID thing is over, we will not revert a bit towards, yes, still establishing relationships and still having a drink together for large enterprise deals and still forming relationships? Absolutely not. That is going to come back. And quite frankly, it's one of the parts of the job that I like. So it would be sad being a traveler and love meeting people, et cetera. I love that part. It would be sad if that went away. I don't believe it will. But definitely you're learning what kinds of opportunities do not require that.
Amazing.
Right? And how to differentiate between the two.
Why come back to early stage startups?
I'd say there are, well, I never left really, apart from Verint, which was a more mature company. I always go back and the...
But you're also a VP at NICE.
Sorry?
You're also a VP.
Well, that was post-acquisition.
Okay.
Right? So I was there post-acquisition and helping the transition, et cetera. So I constantly come back to early stage startups. At some point, I will stop doing that because it is very, very hard work. But I would say for me, it's three things. One, it's really having the ability to make an impact. And at earlier stages, every step that you do has much more significant impact.
Right.
And that's one thing I love. Two, in the case of NeuroLegion, it was really going back to the origins. I started in cybersecurity. I thought it was time to go back to it. I understand this market, and I really saw an opportunity that could provide value. And three, there were, quite frankly, threats on my life. Sean, our CEO, has been my best friend for 40 years. And he told me that it was time for me to come back and start working together. And how many opportunities do you get to work with your best friend?
That's incredible. That's just incredible. You know, talk to me a little bit about this cybersecurity space. Where are we headed? What are some of the greatest challenges in the space as a whole? Not just NeuroLegion, but the space as a whole that you're seeing now as you're talking to so many different companies who are in need of cyber solutions?
Well, I think the market is really shifting, and it shifted much more significantly over the last 3 months than people expected. But this just pushed a lot of trends that had already started. The number of threats is going up continuously, right? It never stopped, and organizations are facing new and more dangerous threats all the time. Now, especially with everybody working from home, would you believe 3 months ago if I told you that VPN is going to disappear and there are new solutions that will replace VPN? We've been playing around with VPN for so many, 25 years now, right?
Unbelievable.
So that's going away. There's a huge change. And I think one of the biggest trends that we're seeing is that really the world of software is eating everything, right? Mark
Andreessen, yeah. Software is eating the world.
And now... Exactly, right? And now that's coming to security as well. You can't have two different organizations. Now, we're the security organization that enforces stuff and the development organization. No, that's gone. That's it. Right? They are one organization now, and if you can't have security from the ground up, you're going to have problems. And we're seeing that in every single page of every single part of cybersecurity. And really, there's a great thing in English, which everybody knows, which is an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And integrating all these solutions into the development process is that ounce of prevention. It will save organizations a lot of money and make them a lot more secure by the time. And that's exactly what we're trying to help drive.
But it's not enough for any young company to just come in and say, yeah, we have a SaaS, we have software and NeuroLegion and a few others come along and integrate. Let's be secure. Do you need do companies as early as, you know, a POC or an MVP, do they already need somebody who's knowledgeable with cybersecurity space within the company, or do you think this can be outsourced and just plug in installations from other companies?
So I think there are three options that organizations can look at because the threat profile is different for different kinds of organizations.
Right.
If you're a large and mature organization and your Visa or your Citibank or your government, right?
You better have a division.
You know that there are a lot of people that are excited to attack you.
Yeah.
Right? So you better have this in place, and you better have real expert in place that are dynamic and thinking on their feet and know what they're doing. If you're a mid-sized organization that's developing solutions, et cetera, or a very early stage company, absolutely adapt these practices that are the right practices from the beginning integrate them into your processes, but you can use third-party tools for this.
Right.
The third approach, which we're definitely seeing, is there are outsource companies that help you with it. And maybe it's taking a hybrid approach of the first of the latter two in order to really get secure as you grow.
I love it. Gadi, right before we leave, and thank you again for the time and inspiration, and I'm excited to continue learning as much as I can from you along the way. I need three words from you that best describe you and, you know, a little bit about what are you truly passionate about?
It's always a question when you get asked this. Is that how others would describe me or how I would describe
myself? I'm gonna let you choose which one.
I'll go with, and also when I say others, is it my coworker? Is it my wife? Is it the dog? Like, who's the one that, if the dog, then it's treat dispenser. That's as far as
there you go.
I would say unconventional. I don't necessarily do things in the standard way that they would be done otherwise. Tenacious.
Okay.
Right.
I like that.
And the one that I've heard of time and time again that I like is the GSD, get shit done.
I love it. Yes.
Talk is cheap.
Wonderful. Gadi, toda rabba. Thank you very, very much. And and best of luck with everything. Hockey
Thank
stick
you
from
very
here.
Much.
Take
Talk
care.
To you very soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.